The business community has responded to the Treasurer's climate pivot with a degree of incredulity, saying they've been waiting for years for more policy direction from the government. Households too are being warned they could be stung by higher borrowing costs if businesses fail to make their climate targets clear. Here's business reporter David Taylor.
Business groups have repeatedly pressured the government for a firm emissions reductions target to help firm up their own investment plans.
Industry and business more generally has been on this journey for quite a long time.
Innes Willox is the CEO of the Australian Industry Group, which represents a wide range of industries across the economy. He welcomes the Treasurer's climate call to arms, but says industries which are set to play key roles in a greener economy are still largely in the dark on crucial climate policy detail.
There's a lot more to it. There's electrification of vehicles, there's increasing energy efficiency for business as a whole. There's issues around buildings, agriculture. So it's a complex picture. And the issue is whether you have a plan or a target, and business usually has both. And we hope that the government will in time be able to settle on both the plan and a target, hopefully ahead of the COP meeting in Glasgow in November.
He also makes the point that business is already feeling international pressure to make proactive steps to tackle climate change, and they're responding with concrete plans. For example, Energy Australia says it will bring forward the closure of its Mount Piper coal power plant in New South Wales as part of new commitments to end coal power generation by 2040. And the ANZ Bank copped plenty of pushback from the National Party last year when it nailed its colours to the mast on climate change, signalling it would limit lending to dirty polluters.
Business is getting on with the job towards working towards net zero by 2050 as quickly as possible for the sake of their staff, their customers, their investors and their shareholders.
To appease the Nationals, Scott Morrison has already pledged some financial pain relief for regional industries such as mining and agriculture in terms of withholding emissions taxes and penalties. Those industries will also receive funding to aid in transitioning away from fossil fuels and towards renewables. Chief Executive of the National Farmers Federation, Tony Marr, welcomes the assistance, but he still isn't convinced agriculture will be better off under a firm target on net zero emissions.
What we want from government is the right settings that allows farmers to do that in a way that, you know, keeps them profitable, keeps them productive.
In a statement, the Minerals Council's CEO, Tanya Constable, said, quote, "The MCA and all of its members are taking serious action on climate change and are committed to the Paris Agreement and its goal of net zero emissions, as well as the recommendations of the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures." Kobad Babnagri is an energy sector analyst with financial news service Bloomberg. He says the Treasurer's speech clearly shows the way on climate policy. Importantly, it does not lay down the policy path.
We're getting closer. The government needs to pave the way for business to be able to do that. It needs to be put in place the incentives, the economic signals that allows them to invest billions of dollars in this transformation. But what we've seen so far is a very welcome sign.
And it's the roughly $4 trillion a year in foreign investment that many businesses rely on to make the energy transition, the Treasurer is warning, may soon cost an arm and a leg. Josh Frydenberg says unless Australia moves, nations further ahead on climate policy will apply sanctions to Australian institutions accessing offshore capital. That, he says, will push up the cost of borrowing for government, businesses and households. RBC Capital Markets chief economist Su Lin Ong says borrowing costs are already rising thanks to how the world views Australia's climate policies.
So, you know, it does run the risk of increasing costs to both corporates and governments predominantly. And, you know, ultimately that feeds back through to households and consumers.
That's RBC Capital Markets chief economist Su Lin Ong and David Taylor with that report.